When President Obama announced late last year that he would work toward ending the embargo on trade with Cuba, tourists were not the only ones perking up their ears. Midwest farmers and ranchers see communist Cuba as an untapped market for goods from the American heartland. Harvest Public Media's Christopher Husted has the story.
On a clear, cold day in southeast Missouri, Paul Combs pulls up to some workers loading rice into bins for shipping. The land here is saturated with water, which makes it perfect for growing rice. He rolls down his window.
Why don't you pick a warm day to grow rice? Load rice.
Hey, it's better than last year.
Today, Combs arranges to get his workers an extra bin to pack up more of the rice. It's something he says will have to happen more often in the future if they can start exporting to one particular Caribbean island with a large appetite for rice.
We're excited about the possibility of normalized relations with Cuba. Until 1963, Cuba was the biggest market for U.S. rice.
Combs says some of his rice ends up in milling operations stateside. It's milled into rice flour and rice bran that you find on grocery store shelves. Anheuser-Busch snaps up some of Combs' rice, too, for beer. The rest of the bins get loaded onto barges and shipped down the Mississippi River where they head out of the country.
And the primary markets for that export market are Mexico and in all of the countries in Central America.
Right now, Cuba imports tons of rice from Asia. Since Cuba sits smack dab in the middle of a busy U.S. trade route, American farmers think they can supply higher quality rice at a cheaper price than what the Cubans are currently buying from Vietnam. And cheap is the name of the game for an island with a big import market. Bill Messina is an agriculture economist at the University of Florida.
They're a small country, but they're having to import over 60% of their food requirements to feed the population.
Messina says in 2014, Cuba imported more than $2 billion worth of food products, much of which is bought in bulk from countries in Asia or South America. But Cuba doesn't have a ton of space to store extra crops, which could be an incentive to buy American.
It's secure and dry. Warehouse storage facilities make it much more difficult for them to be importing large volumes like that than smaller volumes that they could purchase from the United States.
The U.S. has been able to export a limited amount of food to Cuba under a deal President George W. Bush made, but many commodity groups are calling for a full end to the trade embargo. They want complete access to all of Cuba's market, but that takes an act of Congress.
We always are looking for opportunities, whether it is in Asia or whether it's 90 miles from our shore to sell more beans or rice or corn or pork or poultry.
Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri visited Cuba recently. She says the U.S. is the only country not openly trading with Cuba, and it's time to drop the embargo, which would not only help American producers, but Cuban citizens, too.
The Castro government is using the American embargo as an excuse to the people of Cuba to explain their lack of prosperity. It's time we rip away that excuse.
Back in Missouri, rice farmer Paul Combs drives back to his office, eager to ramp up rice exports.
Is it going to be as big a market as it was in 63 when it first opens? Maybe, maybe not.
He says American rice could act as the gateway commodity for the rest of the agriculture industry.
As time goes on, if their economy improves because of increased tourism, then maybe you start to sell them the higher-priced agricultural products like beef from Missouri or pork from Missouri.
Indeed, the National Chicken Council, American Soybean Association, and the U.S. Cattlemen's Association are among dozens of commodity groups pushing for an end to the embargo. They hope their products are next in line. Christopher Husted, Harvest Public Media.